You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm host Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. Come to the site now, your fallout from Week 12 as we slowly go into Week 13. Still two more games left on the schedule. That's two. That's Monday Night Football, Seahawks. Eagles will break that game down for you tomorrow. Then hopefully, as scheduled, Steelers, Ravens will go. Push back from Thursday. We know a lot of things have changed that game, especially on the Ravens side, COVID-19. So really hitting that team hard. The Steelers will be without James Conner in that game. So we'll see. Hopefully it'll still go off and we can talk about that here. Break that game for you on Wednesday down. That's what we do here on Roundup Mondays. We kick off another week of Locked On Fantasy Football. Hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Hope the results of Sunday's game puts you in good position to win, or you've already won if you don't have anything riding in the balance in these final two games. So congratulations there. If you didn't win, we're going to look at what went wrong here and some of the things that we liked, didn't like, the good, bad, ugly, surprising, disappointing there from week number 12, Sunday action. So we'll break down all those games in detail here on Roundup Monday for takeaways you need to know from all those 12 games. We'll do that. Before we dive into that, I got to tell you, thanks to lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi's here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. For me, it's at home, watching all the games at once, trying to absorb it all for my day job and for fantasy football, and I want to have something cool and reliable there with me as my beverage of choice. And Pepsi's a refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. All right, let's dive in, shall we? We'll break down four games in each segment here for you. The first, as we go to the 1 p.m. Eastern Time window, the Bills over the Chargers, 27-17. I kind of saw this game playing out this way. Justin Herbert cools off a little bit here, 3-16-1, so not bad there. Got some garbage points late there, thrown deep. He had an interception as well in this game. So finally didn't have the multiple touchdown game, but part of it was the return of Austin Eckler, 25 touches for him, 11 receptions, 85 yards on top of 44 rushing yards. So typical game for Austin Eckler. Back in the lineup, welcome back. We're waiting for you. Joshua Kelly was the back that was complimentary, 7 carries, 35, and a touchdown, including a 33-yard run there. So Kelly didn't look good overall, but he did have that burst and that score that kind of saved him as a flex. So it's going back full circle to what we saw early in the season, Eckler and Kelly. It was Justin Jackson for a while. Kalen Ballage was hurt and didn't play in this game. You had a little bit of Troy Maine Pope somewhere in the mix. But this is, I think, their ideal combination. Eckler getting the most touches as the lead back with the change of pace and receiving ability, and then a few power touches for Joshua Kelly. This is the 1-2 punch they had early in the season that was working. We saw way back in week one when Jackson got hurt. So maybe it's coming back to that, and Kelly might have some value here down the stretch, especially with Ballage hurting. Jackson not expected return. So we'll see how that plays out here for the Chargers. But Eckler certainly locked back in as an RB1, certainly in a PPR and half-point PPR leagues with that type of volume. Hunter Henry continues to be pretty solid here. 7 catches for 67 on 10 targets. Keenan Allen also had 10 targets. Only caught four, but for 40 yards and a touchdown. So both those guys came through with high volume behind Eckler here. The game script was negative as they couldn't run the ball. So, again, Mike Williams, we knew it would be a grind for him. It was 3 for 26, only 5 targets there for him. So, now that Eckler's back, that's really going to hurt I think the value of Williams is it's mainly going to run through Henry, Allen, and Eckler in the pass game. And the running game, it could be hit or miss here from week to week. I don't think it's very reliable for the Chargers, but Eckler is going to be that guy there. And Kelly, as a deep league flex, has some potential as the best power change of pace to Eckler. Now, on the other side of things, the Bills, not a very good game for Josh Allen. This was maybe an underreported development there. The Chargers are pretty good in the passing defense area. 157-1 only for Josh Allen. He had a TD. He also had 32 yards and a rushing TD, which really bailed him out of this really tough day overall. So not a big day at all for Josh Allen, kind of back-end QB1 with the multiple touchdowns. So tough game there. We didn't know how this backfield was going to go, Devin Singletary and Zach Moss. Well, it went to Devin Singletary for the most part. 14 touches, 102 yards from scrimmage for him. Very good game there. Zach Moss had all the carries. He looked good as well, 9 for 59. This Chargers run defense is not very good, but it was not a takeover here. It's pretty equal. So when you look at it, 14 touches for Singletary, 11 touches for Moss. Yardage was just a little different in favor of Singletary in this game, and neither got a touchdown. So both of these guys are viable, but more down as a deep league flex or RB2s here for some value in half or full point PPR. So with Allen's bad game, no Stephon Diggs, 7 for 39 only on 9 targets. So he got a lot of short passes, so PPR helped, but nothing big at all out of those receptions here. And Gabriel Davis filling in for the injured John Brown with the ankle goes off here, 3 for 79 and touchdown on 4 targets. So Davis looks like a thing opposite the Diggs here for sure. We'll monitor him. Still hard to trust with that volume with only 4 targets, same as Beasley got in this game. So interesting developments for this Bills offense, but Diggs certainly one of the more disappointing performances, and Allen also underwhelmed this week. We know it'll get better for the Bills going forward. They do have a tricky matchup cross-country against the 49ers, however, in week number 13. The next game we'll go to, also involving a team from the West, traveling to a team in the AFC East, Cardinals and Patriots. This one was highly disappointing all around, unless you had two particular running backs in this one, but the passing game's totally evaporated here. Kyler Murray favoring that shoulder, 170, no touchdowns, had an interception, sacked twice, only 31 yards rushing, so brutal single-digit day for Murray, his first really clunker of this season, where he's been rather solid. We thought the game against the Seahawks is bad. This one took it to a whole new level. Well, Cam Newton took it to a whole new level of bad here. Only 46 yards rushing for him. He only had 84 yards passing and 2 interceptions. So the defense has showed up in this game to make plays. The game could have been better for these two quarterbacks had they had gotten the 2 touchdowns. Instead, for the Cardinals, that went to Kenyon Drake on the ground on 2 short runs, 22 for 78 and 2. You had James White, 5 for 18 and 2 on the ground here. So Damien Harris gets vultured. Cam Newton gets vultured here. And tough game for Damien Harris. 14 carries only for 47. So Drake's game wasn't all that good, but those 2 touchdowns really saved him. And he also had 3 catches for 15. So he's back being used in good, favorable fantasy scoring situations when he can get 25 touches in a game like this. That's what you wanted to see from Drake early in the season. That's what you're seeing late in the season now. DeAndre Hopkins had a bit of Stephon Gilmore. There were a few penalties, 5 for 55 on 7 targets. So another underwhelming game here for DeAndre Hopkins. And again, Murray just wasn't completely himself here. As far as the Patriots receivers go, Jacoby Myers, 5 for 52 on 6 targets. So not great for the leading receiver. So almost mirror images. The difference was that Newton had far less passing yards and one more interception, but still overwhelming and highly disappointing in a key situation here for both quarterbacks in week number 12. I think there's a good chance that you'll have Murray rebound as he gets healthier, rest that shoulder a bit. As for Cam Newton, just have to be off the QB radar this week, even with 2 teams off, Tom Brady and Teddy Bridgewater on byes for week 13. The next game we'll talk about, still involving a AFC East team, make that 2, the Dolphins and the Jets. It was all Dolphins in this one, 257-2 for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Welcome back to the lineup with Tua Tagovailoa having the left thumb issue, didn't play. What does Fitzpatrick do? He facilitates the playmakers, 8 for 119 on 14 targets for Devontae Parker. Mike Gesicki, welcome back to Relevance. 2 catches, 35, and a TD on 5 targets. So you knew without Preston Williams that Fitzpatrick was going to pretty much rely a lot on Parker and throw some to Gesicki, and that's what happened in this game. Now, the backfield, confused us even more. So remember Salvin Ahmed? Well, he missed the game. So we thought Matt Breida, right? There's no Jordan Howard. There's no Miles Gaskin. Who do they give the ball to? DeAndre Washington. Remember him? He's been around here with the Raiders. He was their third back behind Jalen Richard and Josh Jacobs at one point. So really disappointing. 13 for 49. He's a leading rusher for the Dolphins. Gaskin certainly could be returning next week, so that could complicate things even more here for the Dolphins. So, again, tough to trust anything here on the Dolphins right now, fantasy football-wise. Fitzpatrick, a decent streamer in matchups like this, but Parker is really the only asset you can hang your hat on here every week from the Dolphins, and he's getting it done because of the being the lone threat. Sam Darnold returned for the Jets. It didn't really improve their offensive chances, but you have to say Frank Gore looked okay. He had 21 touches for 86 yards, 3 catches there, so not a bad PPR day. Breshad Perriman, another solid game for him, 4 for 79. So he's asserting himself as the number one. We thought Darnold returning, Jamison Crowder would do more, but 3 for 31 on 5 targets. So Perriman is pretty much their reliable wide receiver 3 fantasy producer at this point. He's got it done in multiple weeks here with Joe Flacco and Sam Darnold. Frank Gore, whatever it's worth, Adam Gase is going to go down with him, and now there's no LaMichael Pirine or any other young back to trust. So Gore's going to get the touches to make him somewhat viable if you're desperate as an RB2 or flex. And Perriman coming in weekly as wide receiver 3 with those 4 for 79 and 8 targets. Not much else to see there. Denzel Mims having a little bit of a role, but still Perriman is the top outside guy. So this offense, other than Gore and Perriman, not much to see here with the Jets, and only 3 points to show for it against the Dolphins. The last game we'll talk about in this segment was the Giants and the Bengals. This game was actually kind of disappointing. If you had Giants in this game, 19-17, you could have been a much bigger game, but Daniel Jones, 213-0, only 19 yards rushing. That's before he hurt his hamstring late, so Colt McCoy had to come in and take over. Colt McCoy didn't really do anything to help this offense. A couple things did come through that we liked, however. Wayne Gallman, big volume again. He's featured now, folks. We've been waiting for this. 27 touches, 91 yards, and a score here for Wayne Gallman. You'll take that every week as your RB2. Let's look at the receiving corps. 6 for 129 on 9 targets for Evan Engram. So he chewed this up. Sterling Shepard is pretty solid as well. 7 catches for 64 yards and 8 targets. But Darius Slayton disappeared from the game plan, especially when McCoy got in there. It was over. They had the lead. They were trying to grind this game away with the running game. They ran for 142 yards in this game, so they weren't really trying to throw much once Jones departed. Here, only 6 of 10 for 31 was McCoy. So Engram and Shepard got as much production as they could before Jones went down. It is definitely a concern going forward that there's no Jones. They play Seattle this week. There's a good chance he misses the game, and that's going to hurt the running game as well because, again, you can really not worry about the passing game as much and really tee off here in Gallman. So Gallman still gets it done with volume, always gets the scoring opportunities, but, yeah, really disappointing here. The Giants didn't do a little bit more, and Jones went down in the process here while he didn't produce. Now, for the Bengals, we knew the quarterback change would hurt a little bit. Well, T. Higgins didn't have a great game overall. Did catch all 5 of his targets for 44, but found the end zone here. So we knew it was going to be compressed. They weren't going to get the ball downfield. Tyler Boyd only 3 for 15 on 6. A.J. Green didn't have a catch. Drew Sample 4 for 40 on 5 targets. Gio Bernard here had only 10 touches for 49 yards without Joe Mixon. So, yeah, everything of the Bengals. I think T. Higgins, just because of the talent alone and the fact that he still got the job done here finding the end zone for Allen, says he's the Bengal you can trust. But everything else there, not at all for Cincinnati, as Allen replaced Ryan Finley, who replaced Joe Burrow. It just looks pretty bad here overall for Cincinnati. And again, running game used to be somewhat reliable to trust. Bernard as a plug and play for Mixon. That is no longer the case. So there you have a look at 4 of the 12 games here and the results of week 12 NFL Sunday. We still have 8 more to get to. Before we get into the next wave, first I got to tell you about Echelon. When it comes to getting an or staying in shape, nothing feels as good as that feeling of accomplishment, of hitting your fitness goals and feeling great about yourself. Echelon can get you there. Echelon offers the next generation of connected fitness bikes, fitness mirrors, rowing machines, and their all-new Echelon Stride Smart Treadmill. No matter what your favorite fitness activity, Echelon gives you a fun and challenging workout from the comfort of your own home. Echelon's world-class instructors will motivate you with thousands of daily live and on-demand studio-level classes, always available when you need them. Unlike their competitors, Echelon is affordable for everyone, and one membership lets up to five members all work out at the same time in the same family. Right now, you can try any Echelon fitness equipment at home for 30 days. All you have to do is go to echelonfit.com/locked on there. That's echelonfit.com/NFL. So check it out as a Locked On promo code. That's echelonfit, echelonfit.com/NFL. Introducing Echelon Fit, the evolution of fitness. Check it out there right now. Take advantage of trying Echelon Fitness at home for 30 days, and you'll love it, and you'll want to keep it, and you'll get a great workout every time there at home with Echelon. All right, we'll be right back here to start breaking down four more games of week number 12. All right, let's continue looking at four games in this early window here from what happened in week number 12. Before we do that, as a programming reminder, we are rolling along here into week 13. We know what happens after Roundup Monday during Lockdown Fantasy Football regular weeks during the season. We'll do Pickup Tuesday, so tomorrow is looking at the waiver wire and free agent acquisition targets, as well as breaking down what we saw with the Seahawks-Eagles game there for you. Wednesday will go Matchup Wednesday. We'll break down the first half of the games of the week, and then we'll come back on Matchup Thursday, do the same with the second half of the week's game, and then it all closes with Lineup Friday here, looking at the DFS values across the board, across positions for the main slate on DraftKings and FanDuel, as well as injury updates you need to know. And if there's a Thursday night game, we'll break that down for you this week. There will not be one, as the Ravens playing on Tuesday. So that's what we do, breaking it down for you every week, our progressive known as the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. And we're glad we're here. And you're here to start another week of the fun here on Locked On Fantasy Football. Let's continue that fun here. Well, fun for having the right guys here in this game. It was the Titans and Colts, 45-26. We're just so confused about the Titans and Colts. Last game in Tennessee on Thursday night, the Colts were the dominant team. Well, this time, the Titans were the dominant team. What can you say? Derrick Henry, 27 carries, 178. And three touchdowns. Great game for Derrick Henry. The classic late season game for Derrick Henry against a divisional foe. This guy's just a hammer. He's a closer in many ways for fantasy football, for reality. And he had this game. No DeForest Buckner. The Colts had a little bit of COVID outbreak on their defense, so really softened up for Henry. They end up with 229 yards rushing, so Henry could have had a bigger game, but plenty big enough here. Also added two catches for 7 yards. Another massive game for A.J. Brown. He finds the end zone, but 4 for 98 and 6 targets. He also returns an onside kick late there for a touchdown. So he gets a second score on special teams as a member of the hands team, so not bad there. Corey Davis continues to be very productive. Only 3 targets, but caught them all for 70 yards. So he's getting the job done. But when Derrick Henry's doing that, you don't need much from the receivers. So a little bit of Henry, a lot of Henry, a little bit of Brown, and good number of Davis there as well. So not much else to see here. Jonnu Smith, the backup running backs, the other receivers, nothing to see here. It's pretty much a Henry Brown Davis offense. And that's enough for Ryan Tannehill to produce here. It was an explosive game for Tannehill, but solid, 222-1, and also had a rushing touchdown here. So 221-2 essentially for Ryan Tannehill in this game, in a tough matchup. Again, not as tough with the Colts defensive injuries in this one. Now, Phillip Rivers, it was a grind. He ended up getting to 295-2 here. The touchdowns went early to Trey Burton, 3 for 42 on 6 targets. So another good tight end game for him. T.Y. Hilton, 4 for 81 and a touchdown. So he's all of a sudden comes back to the mix. He had a 50-yard play, 5 targets here. Michael Pittman was the big disappointment. He had 9 targets here. So second after Nyheim Hines, but only caught 2 for 28. Phillip Rivers was really off throwing to him most of the game. So tough to see that after they had such a good connection the previous weeks. Nyheim Hines had to fill in for Jonathan Taylor. He had 18 touches here for a solid 95 yards. So he had the big game in the previous matchup against the Titans. He's the fill-in again over Jordan Wilkins and has a good game. Wilkins had 9 touches here for 57. So maybe try to get the ball in the hands of the backs too much when the run wasn't working. The offensive line got banged up too with Anthony Costanzo getting hurt in the middle of the game. So just a disaster for the Colts, everything here, and not enough garbage pleasing unless you had T.Y. Hilton or Trey Burton here, or a little bit of a Hines filling in for Taylor in week number 12. All right, let's continue here. The next thing we'll look at here is the Browns and Jaguars, and this one a little tighter than we expected. The Browns kind of let the Jaguars hang around a little bit here, but 27-25, so the Jaguars went for two with a chance to tie the game late with Mike Glennon. So Mike Glennon actually wasn't too bad, folks. We'll start there, 235-2. They scored 25 points. James Robinson, another good game for him. What a high floor he has, and we saw his ceiling here with 27 touches, 159 yards, and a touchdown, five catches for 31. So ever since Chris Thompson went down, Robinson is getting also the receiving work. So we thought he might hit a wall at some point. He got through that Steelers game okay. And Robinson really only has had one bad game that has not yielded him close to RB1 value this season. And certainly he's locked in that. So what a revelation, what a find. He's been key in every week here for the Jaguars. Now, let's look at the rest here. I mean, we didn't have any DJ Chark. He missed the game with a ribs injury. Chris Conley was also out. So Colin Johnson had a big chance here. So we thought it'd be a little bit Keelan Cole and LaVisca Chenault. They only combined for 6 catches and 73 yards on 10 targets, but 8 targets for Colin Johnson. So clearly, Glennon and Johnson have a better rapport. He's a big receiver from Texas that has a nice body, can go up and get the ball. And if he's on the outside, he's more likely to do that because Chenault's a little bit smaller. Cole's more slot-oriented here. So Colin Johnson, we have to pay attention to, especially with the team high 8 targets, 496 and 1 for him in this situation here. Tyler Eifert also got a little bit more relevance in the red zone, catching a touchdown from Glennon in this game. Now, let's look at the Browns side of things here. Jarvis Landry, he's done nothing for most of the season. They went nuts with Jarvis Landry all over the field. 8 catches, 143 on 11 targets. He also scored in this game. So by far, Jarvis Landry's biggest game of the year. He saved it for week 12 here. Nick Chubb, the express, rolls 22 touches here. 3 catches, which is unusual, for 32 for 176 and a score. Kareem Hunt, I don't know what was going on there, but only 10 rushes for 62 and no catches. So Kareem Hunt, a little disappointing if you plug him in every week as an RB2. Chubb really came through nicely as an RB1 this week. And with Landry and Chubb doing the damage, he had a touchdown to Austin Hooper, but not much else to be seen. So Cardale Hodge, Rashard Higgins, they really made it a point to get the ball in the hands of Landry. Game like this is an extension of the running game, and he really came through. And that can hurt Hunt's value when Landry's going off. 258 and 2 for Baker Mayfield. So one of his best baseline games. So 258 and 2 for Mayfield, 235 and 2 for Mike Glennon. So some little back end, really kind of high floor QB performances here in this game that we didn't expect for sure. The next game we'll talk about here is the Panthers and the Vikings. This one is a wild one. Kirk Cousins, again, the game script fell into his favor once again, even without Adam Thielen here, who was on the COVID-19 list. 45 attempts, 307 yards, 3 TDs, 2 went to Justin Jefferson, 7 for 70 on 13 targets. A great game for Justin Jefferson. BC Johnson seamlessly filled in here for Adam Thielen. 7 for 74, caught all his targets. Kyle Rudolph without Irv Smith and Thielen, 7 for 68. So pretty balanced here. We look at 7 catches for Johnson, 7 for Jefferson, 7 for Rudolph, 7 for Chad Beebe, who scores the game-winning touchdown here. So again, Beebe, Johnson, and Rudolph all bumped up here without Thielen. You saw them spread the ball around evenly when usually it's just Jefferson and Thielen, a little bit of Dalvin Cook. Now, Dalvin Cook, disappointing game for him for sure against his Panthers run defense. 22 touches for only 82 yards. He loses the fumble that turns into a touchdown. So, very bizarre game that the Panthers scored 2 defensive scoop and score fumble return touchdowns by the same player on consecutive plays, Jeremy Chinn, the rookie safety. Maybe getting in the mix for defensive rookie of the year, but weird, fluky game here. The Vikings probably would have won this running away without those mistakes. But again, 28-27, they'd have kind of sweat it out all the way through that last Joey Sly missed field goal attempt at the end of regulation. So Vikings survive here. Robbie Anderson, welcome back to relevance with Teddy Bridgewater returning. 267, 1-1 for Bridgewater. Anderson caught that one. Unfortunately, DJ Moore, 4 for 61, 9 targets. He came down with an ankle injury late in the game. So we'll have to see about that. They do have a bye in week 13, but we'll see how serious that is. And if he's going to have to miss extended time, high ankle sprain, he could end up on IR, and that could essentially kill his fantasy football season. So we'll have to watch that. Going to a bye. 5 for 72. Curtis Samuel caught all of his targets there. So Samuel would obviously get a big bump up and be the next receiver with Anderson should Moore be out of lineup here going forward for the Panthers. So tough break if he had DJ Moore. He was okay, but again, still a little too big play dependent here, him and Moore and Anderson. It just comes down to who gets the touchdowns, and Moore didn't get that before he had to exit. The running game, we need Christian McCaffrey back. 15 carries for 55 for Mike Davis. He ends up with 18 touches overall for 79, but still, we want the touchdowns. We want more out of him as a fill-in RB2. We had it early in the season, but now it's not happening here late in a tough matchup like this. The Vikings are much better against the run than the pass, and that kind of played out here. So we'll see. They have a bye week in week 13, so no McCaffrey then. We'll see if you get McCaffrey back for week 14 or they shut him down. So big decision here with their running back as they faded out of the playoff picture at 4-8. The final game we'll talk about, also the last game from the 1 p.m. window there. This one was a massive disappointment and shock. This final score, the Raiders were only slight favorites on the road coming off that Chiefs loss, but to lose 43-6 and not score a touchdown against this Falcons defense is pretty atrocious here. And it was a pretty bad fantasy game all around, let's say that. So let's look at the Falcons. Matt Ryan, 185, 2-1. So not a great game for Matt Ryan. Didn't break 200. Had the interception here and couldn't get more than 2 touchdowns. The touchdowns went to Brandon Powell, naturally. And Calvin Ridley at least scored without Julio Jones, who was ruled out before game time with his injury. 6 for 50 and a touchdown on 9 targets. So not a surprise there with Ridley's game. Hayden Hurst getting more involved without Julio Jones, 4 for 48 on 8. Then they kind of piecemealed it with the other receivers. Unfortunately, Olamide Zaccheaus, who's been making big plays while Jones is out, he injured his toe here. So that kind of hurt the value of Matt Ryan as well. Also disappointing in the backfield. Everyone jumped on Brian Hill as a replacement for Todd Gurley, who didn't play in this game. But Ito Smith was the beneficiary here. 12 carries, 65, and a score for Ito. He also had 4 catches for 10. So they pretty much skipped over Brian Hill and went to Ito Smith. This happens a lot with these backfields. We know that because they trust one guy to be a backup. That's what happens, that Hill they like as a backup for Gurley, but when it comes to seeing more volume and being more versatile and having the ability to stay on the field for 3 downs, they look at the other back, and that's exactly what happened here with Ito Smith here, who has a very strong game. I'm sure there'll be a lot of juice trying to pick him up this week, but there's a chance Gurley could return. So watch the knee injury issue, but Smith certainly going to get that if he's going to get that kind of volume and key touches here for the Falcons. Now, 6 points from the Raiders, atrocious. Derek Carr lit up the Chiefs. He looked awesome. He was having a big season. He goes to 215 and 1 interception, no TDs. Josh Jacobs, 27 yards rushing on 7 carries, only 17 yards receiving here. Another game that Jalen Richard missed. So you couldn't even get going as a check down. Only 10 touches. That's not going to work for Josh Jacobs. He's too talented there of a player to limit. Only 4 for 23 on 7 targets for Darren Waller. The wide receivers somewhat came through. Hunter Renfrow, 7 for 73 on 9. Henry Ruggs, 3 for 56 on 5. 5 for 54 on 6 for Nelson Agholor. But ugly game overall for the Raiders. Nothing there of note that we could like. I mean, Jacobs was facing a pretty tough run defense, but to have that low of touches and not have a shot in the end zone, especially for a team that looks so good against the Chiefs offensively, spreading the ball around, great matchups all around for Waller and the wide receivers. Nothing to show for, just an absolute clunker by Carr and Jacobs when it looked good. And that's the problem with some of these matchups, is they look too good to be true and sometimes are. And again, the Raiders just flat as a team, and really the Falcons took full advantage of that offensively and defensively. All right, so there's a look at 4 more games. We still have 4 more to talk about. That would be the 4 o'clock games and the Sunday night football game between the Bears and Packers. We'll do that. But first, I got to tell you here about Built Bar. Built Bar is simply the best tasting protein bar ever. The improved Built Bar is even deliciouser now, as well with 6 new flavors to go with their 12 original flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. All the bars you get from Built Bar are covered in 100% chocolate, making them soft and easy to chew and absolutely delicious. Built Bar is also great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. All the bars you get from Built Bar are low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Great for anyone on a keto diet. Just take the flavor profile of their peanut butter bar. 19 grams protein, 180 calories, 5 grams sugar, only 5 grams net carbs. So you can't beat that for a great-tasting protein bar that tastes like dessert but is going to power you through the day. And it's easy to get in on Built Bar right now. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You get 20% off your next order. Again, use the promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. We'll be right back here to break down the final four games of Week 12 NFL Sunday. All right, we still have four more games to talk about here as we open the week with Roundup Monday, breaking down everything we saw for you from a fantasy football perspective that happened in the week that was. But first, I got to tell you, don't miss the biggest stories from around the NFL. As Monday's Locked On NFL host Peter Bukowski interviews the local experts on the biggest stories from around the league. Big wins, shocking endings, top performances, and unexpected developments. Get the in-depth analysis and insightful breakdown from those in the know every Monday on Locked On NFL. Subscribe to Locked On NFL wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's go here forward. The Broncos-Saints game. This one was interesting. A lot of things happened after our last show there on Friday. Outbreak of the Broncos quarterbacks. So no Drew Lock, no Jeff Driscoll, no Blake Bortles, no Brett Rippon. They end up starting Kendall Hinton, practice squad wide receiver. He goes on to complete one pass for the Broncos. So as soon as you heard this, you're probably like pulling out all your options here. Even the running game, you just didn't trust what was going on. So one completion and two interceptions there for Hinton. By the way, that completion went to Noah Fant. So hopefully he avoided Noah Fant as well. But Jerry Jeudy, Tim Patrick, Deshaun Hamilton, KJ Hamler. Hamler actually got you negative points because he had two rushes for minus eight. This was a disaster for the Broncos. They fielded a remedial offense. They somehow got to 100 yards rushing with a tough game there against the Saints, a team that doesn't allow much running backs, but they piecemealed. That's the only thing they could do. 50 for Royce Freeman, 31 for Melvin Gordon, 20 for Philip Lindsay. You also hurt his knee in this game, so nothing much to talk about there. Absolute disaster for the Broncos. When you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance, and that happened here for Denver. Now, Taysom Hill didn't look all that great here for the Saints. 78 yards passing, one interception, but when the Saints rush for 229 yards and the other team is just simply not going to do anything offensively, it's an easy day at the office. So no resistance for Taysom Hill, but he ends up with 44 yards and a couple of scores here. So the interceptions hurt, that's for sure, but when you add it up, you get 14 points just from his rushing work in this game and a little bit more from passing. So still very disappointing when you add it up here for Taysom Hill. And again, the Broncos weren't going to give much there and not very pleasing. Michael Thomas led the team easily in receiving with 4 for 50 on 6 targets. Everyone else, no more than one catch here. So really the Saints offense really didn't do too much. Here's the problem. Taysom Hill was underwhelming. So was Alvin Kamara. 11 rushes for 54. And this time he did get a reception, unlike week 11, but one catch for minus 2 yards. So he ends up with 12 touches for 52 yards from scrimmage here. So brutal game for Alvin Kamara. Meanwhile, Taysom Hill scoring twice on the ground, and Latavius Murray is getting 20 touches for 126 yards and 2 scores. So very frustrating all the way across the board if you had Saints. I mean, the Broncos situation was unmatched in terms of unplayability, but this one was brutal. I mean, Thomas was okay in PPR. Kamara was just awful. I mean, he's down there with like all these remedial backs. I mean, look at it. Royce Freeman had 8 for 50 and almost was at the level. Kamara in this game. So Latavius Murray probably on everyone's bench here. There was no indication in this matchup that you were going to start him. You'd think it was a Kamara game and a lot more of Hill. But Murray goes off in this game, and what can you do? That's sometimes the way fantasy football goes. All right, so enough with that game. Let's go move on to another ugly game, shall we? A lot of really awful results this week for fantasy. You had to have those guys that went off and had those big games there from Will Fuller to Derrick Henry and someone else who we're about to talk about in the next game we'll break down. But this game, the 49ers upset the Rams. Both teams scored defensive touchdowns in this one. Nick Mullins, 252 and one interception. Jared Goff, 198 and two interceptions. No passing TDs in this game. Welcome back, Raheem Mostert, however. 16 carries for 43 yards and a touchdown in a tough matchup for Mostert returning. So, again, clearly lead back. Jeff Wilson did have an opportunity, but he did lose a fumble here that cost them. So, also, welcome back to Deebo Samuel. 11 catches for 133 on 13 targets. No Brandon Ayuk in this game with the issues there. COVID-19, but Deebo Samuel, Jalen Ramsey, he was on the other side? Okay. Well, they just moved around Deebo Samuel. This is what they do. They put him inside, outside, away. They don't travel Ramsey there, the Rams. So they could get Samuel and scheme him open. That's what happens. So this was basically the Deebo Samuel show. 11 catches, 133 on 13 targets. He was the only reliable receiver here. There's a lot of missed opportunities with other receivers for Nick Mullins, namely Jordan Reed. But Samuel kept coming through, caught nearly all of his targets here. And Mostert, again, only 43 yards, but you'll take that 43 in a touch and a return as you've needed Mostert in this backfield. At least you have some clarity. You're not guessing who's going to get the touches when he's back. And Samuel, again, proving that he is a wide receiver, too, with a lot of upside here to maybe have a big finish to this season with the Bills coming in next. And he can avoid Tre'Davious White in that matchup as well. Now, the Rams, Cam Akers, is this the takeover game for Cam Akers? I mean, Daryl Henderson, 10 for 19. Didn't look good. Malcolm Brown hardly touched the ball. Akers, 9 carries only, but 84 yards on a touchdown. He looked good. He was shot out of cannon for that 61-yard run that really helped them late, but not much else to see there. Robert Woods, 7 for 80 on 12 targets. He also added 1 for 8 there rushing. Cooper Kupp went back to being disappointment. 2 for 41 there. Josh Reynolds, 5 for 40. 5 and 6 targets each for Kupp and Reynolds. There was a little bit less of Tyler Higbee and Gerald Everett in this game. So 49ers defense came to play. Richard Sherman returned. They had Dre Greenlaw play. So again, watch this. The most important thing here for the Rams, did they flip the page to Cam Akers? Did they have to go in that direction? The defense still comes through. But again, Jared Goff, hard to trust from week to week. Absolutely, that's true. And that's been the case. These other boomer busts, there's nothing in between here with Jared Goff's production in 2020. We mentioned we're going to talk about the big performances. We know there was mainly clunkers, but if you had one of these big play dudes, Derrick Henry, Will Fuller were two of them, Deshaun Watson is another, you had Justin Jefferson had the multiple touchdowns, if you happen to play Latavius Murray, well, the biggest of them all, saving him for last here, Tyreek Hill, 13 receptions, 269 and 3 in this 27-24 victory. The Chiefs beat the Buccaneers. Tyreek Hill had 200 yards in the first quarter. So they actually had to cool off. That's the Bucs kind of figured out some things and slowed him down a little bit, but still ends up with 269 and 3. Career game for him, career game for most receivers here. 13 of 15 targets. They played single coverage. He got open all the time, ran past everyone. Mahomes was pinpoint to him downfield. And the Chiefs abandoned the running game this one. So brutal for the backs here. 11 carries for 37 for Edwards-Helaire, 5 for 22. We knew this was going to happen. They were just going to let Mahomes go nuts. Andy Reid is going to get pass happy whenever he gets frustrated by the run. That certainly happened in this game. And Hill and Mahomes put on quite a show here. Mahomes, 28 yards rushing on top of his 462 and 3, all three scores to Hill. Travis Kelce solid again, 8 for 82, caught all of his targets here. So the Bucs basically could not stop Hill or Kelce with their schemes. And the rest just kind of piecemeal. The run game got shut down and not much to see in the receiving core. Split evenly between Sammy Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, and Mecole Hardman. So again, Mahomes, Hill, a little bit of Kelce. That's about it for the Chiefs. But that's what they do, and that's what you like about them, and that's what you love about Mahomes. Now let's look at the Buccaneers. 345 and 3 for Tom Brady. He did have two interceptions that brought those numbers down a little bit, but you'll take it. When you get to 303, that's a solid QB1 performance, really more borderline spectacular. Again, the interceptions, reality-wise, were sloppy, and it cost the Bucks the game here 27-24. But Gronkowski goes over 100 yards, 6 for 106 on 7 targets. Chris Godwin, 8 for 97 on 9. But Mike Evans was a superstar here. Only caught 3 of his 9 targets for 50 yards, but 2 touchdowns here for Mike Evans. So Gronkowski, Godwin, Evans all get it done. Antonio Brown, very quiet, 2 for 11 here. Ronald Jones had a long TD down the sideline, so he's displaced, I think, Leonard Fournette as the pass-catching back as well. Only 10 touches for Jones in this matchup, but he made them completely count here with 103 yards and that receiving score from Brady. So Fournette, again, afterthought, he's more of the closer. When they're trailing, he's not going to be the guy, only 6 touches for 20 yards. Jones is a guy that's more consistently involved, and Fournette's recent issues with drops are not going to help his cause for seeing more touches. But Brady, rebound game for him, not great with the 2 picks, but Gronkowski, Godwin, Evans, Jones, that's what you want to see, him facilitating those guys, and he produced, and all those guys produced here as well, and hopefully that's good here to go for the stretch run. Keep in mind, however, you won't have any Bucks in your lineup for week 13. They're on a bye, but a very easy schedule coming out of it. They still have to play the Falcons twice. So it's Vikings, Falcons, Lions coming out here for the fantasy football playoffs. So it doesn't get much better than that for Tom Brady down the stretch here in week number 12. Coming out of this, he can build on this for sure, even with the interceptions. Fantasy, that doesn't hurt us too much when he's putting up those numbers with those receivers. All right, let's break down our final game here, Sunday Night Football. This one was pretty much all Packers early, but the Bears had a good fantasy day in the end, a fantasy night, I should say. 2-11-4 for Aaron Rodgers, an efficient day at the office, a typical day at Lambeau Field. 5 for 67, caught all of his targets to lead the team for Robert Tonyan. Devontae Adams, only 6 catches here on 9 targets for 61 and a score, but the game got out of hand. Aaron Rodgers had an easy touchdown to Alan Lazard in this game, fully back from his core muscle injury. Mercedes Lewis, he had no MVS in this game, had a late injury in the week, so Lazard comes back, he gets in the end zone. Mercedes Lewis had the tight end touchdown as well with Tonyan. So, good game for the Packers overall. Jamal Williams, 17 for 73, and a touchdown here on the ground, a 17-yard burst in the end zone. Unfortunately, that cut in Aaron Jones, who also had 17 carries for 90 yards in this one. So very similar numbers, but Williams ends up getting the pay dirt here. Jones has a tough history against the Bears. He only had 1 reception for 0 yards in this game as well. So what's really happening with Aaron Jones is pretty evident. They're managing his touches. If they have a big lead, they don't want to wear him down. He's had an injury-riddled season here, so they've been very careful with him. So maybe down the stretch here in the fantasy football playoffs, when these games get tougher, including the Eagles this week, that you'll see more work from Jones. But again, they're managing him, and if Williams is effective and Rodgers is doing his thing, they can afford to do that in reality, and that can hurt his value a little bit in fantasy, which we saw this week. Now, with the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky had to start. He had Nick Foles still recovering from that hip issue. I think Mitchell Trubisky, even with the mistakes here, he was sacked 3 times. There was a defensive touchdown on a fumble. He had 2 interceptions. He still gave this team more offensive upside, I think, than Nick Foles. Part of it is his running ability. He can keep some plays alive. Part of it is he's going to get the ball in the hands of his playmakers, and he did that well. I mean, he had a tough matchup with Jaire Alexander on the other side, but they still schemed Allen Robinson open. 8 catches on 13 targets for 74 yards and 2 touchdowns. So I think as good as Nick Foles has been peppering Allen Robinson, I think Trubisky is better at getting the ball to Allen Robinson here. So that's good. I mean, so we're not necessarily going to go after Trubisky with his 3 TDs, but we appreciate that he did take care of Robinson here on 13 targets here. And that's where fantasy and reality differ, that a game like Trubisky's was awesome for fantasy. Garbage points, throwing it up. He could have gone the other way and had none of those garbage points. But he came through. Robinson there, 874, 2, 13 targets. So let's hope they keep Trubisky, because I think this is better, again, overall for Robinson's value. There he has another big game that he had earlier in the season. David Montgomery really talked about in this game, saying he's got to produce. He's coming back from concussion. They got to feed him the ball. Trubisky's in. What does he do? 16 touches, 143 yards, and a late receiving touchdown there. So, Robinson Montgomery, we want to see the streamline as much as possible. With all due respect to Darnell Mooney and Anthony Miller, who are hardly on our radars now as wide receiver options, Jimmy Graham, Cole Kmet, we want to see it be as few people as possible so we can rely on the Bears. So Montgomery and Robinson, there's your combination, and one we're going to look at here going forward in fantasy football to close the 2020 season. So there you have it. There's a breakdown of all the games for you of Week 12 NFL Sunday. Again, Monday Night Football, Seahawks-Eagles. Good luck if you need something there. Good luck if you need something in the Ravens-Steelers game as well. Hopefully that game gets played, and you'll get what you need from those two games to win your fantasy football matchup this week. Thanks so much for listening to start the week on Lockdown Fantasy Football. This has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. See you tomorrow for Pickup Tuesday.